Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the lower part of Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. You will notice that there is a Tanaic source. You can see there's a framed section. In our Gemara markings, we frame all Tanaic sources so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Before learning the Gemara, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Gemara markings, and that's the topic headings that we offer in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. We have written here, Eich muter liknois beitzim migoyim b'li chashash min tome. How is it muter to buy eggs from Gentiles without worrying that maybe the egg comes from a type of bird that's not kosher? The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Loichin beitzin min oivde kechavim b'chol mokim. One can purchase eggs from Gentiles all over, anywhere. The ein choshishin lo mishum nevelos v'lo mishum trefos, and one doesn't have to worry that the egg came from a dead chicken that's an nevela or from a chicken that's a trefa. If we would know that the egg in fact came from an nevela or a trefa, the egg would be forbidden. But we're told here, one doesn't have to suspect that which he's buying from the Gentile is from there. Before going further, we immediately encounter a geometric form. This is explained under the Mivneh heading, the Mivneh structural note that accompanies this Gemara in the outside margin. We feature this form, technically a trapezoid, fondly referred to as a volcano. You'll notice if you skim ahead that it flips around in two directions. In this case, we call this a ma'akav. A ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. So with the narrower part facing upwards, they represent kushos, questions. With the narrow part facing downwards, they represent responses. So our Gemara continues. V'dilma di'oif tamei ninhu. Maybe the egg that I purchase from the goy comes from a non-kosher variety bird. This source told us that you can buy eggs from goyim and don't have to worry that it comes from, let us say, a dead bird or a trefa bird. Trefa is not the way we use the word trefa in the colloquial, but trefa means an animal, or in this case a bird, that has a specific organ problem. That's fine. We're just told in this source you don't have to worry about it coming from a nevela or a trefa, but maybe it comes from an unkosher variety bird. Omar Avua de Shmuel answers that the circumstances under which I'm allowed to buy from the Gentiles, Ba'omer, where he says, Shel oif ploini tahor. He says this comes from such and such a kosher type bird. In other words, he identifies the type of bird from which this egg that he's selling me comes. Question, Vilema shel oif tahor. Why is the Gentile saying that it comes from a specific type of bird when he could simply say this egg comes from a kosher type bird? Instead of identifying, let us say, a chicken or a dove, specifying the kind of bird it comes from, just let it be sufficient for the goy to say it comes from a kosher bird. The Gemara answers, "E hachi, if he were able to say just it comes from a kosher bird, is le lishtamute. In reality, maybe it doesn't come, and if I try to say, well, this doesn't look like a chicken's egg, he could say, well, right, it's not a chicken's egg, it's from another kind of kosher variety bird. However, when he says the type of bird it comes from, I can always go check it out. I can take the egg that I got from the Gentile and go to the kind of bird he said it comes from. And if it doesn't match, then the Gentile will look really bad. So he has a great incentive to tell the truth when he says and when he identifies the kind of bird it came from, and not just by saying it comes from a kosher bird. Question: why do I have to go through all of this? V'livdok b'simonim. Now we should take note that this piece of Gemara is a long question that starts here, and it goes down quite a few lines down the top, about 7-8 lines down the top of Daf Samach Dalet. So in order to appreciate the question, we'll have to go through all of this Gemara. But before learning it, the Gemara will eventually tell us that eggs have signs on them. In other words, the shape of the egg can reveal from what kind of bird it comes, namely kosher versus non-kosher. So that why is it so necessary to subject the seller to cross-examination and to thorough investigation? Why just take the egg, look at its characteristics? Those are the simonim, and through that alone I can know. So that's the question. The Gemara goes on. We said v'livdok b'simonim. Look at the characteristics of the egg itself. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we're just emphasize once again that in order to see this idea that kosher eggs have specific characteristics, we have to learn quite a few lines of Gemara till we get to that point. Desanya. The Tanaic source begins here. K'simone beitzim. Now you see the brackets. Just let's skip the brackets initially. Kach simone ubre dogim. Just as there are signs on eggs in order to identify their kashrus, so whatever signs that identify a kosher kind of egg, that same structure, that same shape will be able to identify fish eggs. Ubre dogim, which you see at the top of Samach Dalet after the skip that we made, is a reference to the shape in which eggs appear in fish. And if it's a kosher variety fish, the eggs, now we're not talking about the individual eggs, but when one opens up a fish containing eggs, one will notice that there are thousands of eggs in a standard fish that are all clumped together in a specific shape. And the shape that the collection of eggs appears in the fish is similar to the shape of an egg that you get from a bird. So that if you have if you know the shape of a kosher variety egg, bird's egg, then you will be able to identify the eggs that come from a kosher type fish. Of course, we're talking about a case where the fish isn't there, you just have the clump of eggs. And the form that the clump takes is the same form as an egg coming from an individual egg coming from a bird. There was a little section that we skipped here, and that's because that which is contained in the brackets is not accurate. So, and the Bryce itself fixes the Lashon. So, reading the Bryce again, it says, Kisimone beitzim, kach simone dogim. Just like eggs have, just whatever the sign of a kosher egg is, that's the sign of a kosher fish. So, the Gemara asks, Simone dogim salkadaitoch, are you talking about the sign of a kosher fish? Snapir vikas keses omar achmona. The Torah talks about fins and scales as the sign of a kosher fish. So what are you drawing on the shape of an egg for in order to identify a fish when one has nothing to do with the other? Elo emo, rather say as follows, kach simone ubre dogim. Just as a chicken or a bird egg has a specific shape that enables you to identify it as coming from a kosher kind of bird, that same general shape will help you identify a cluster of fish eggs as having come from a kosher variety fish. Once again, we're talking about a case where you don't have the the parent fish in front of you just have the eggs being sold or given separately, separate from the fish itself. So as we see this particular source, you see that there's an assumption made that kosher variety eggs can be, eggs from birds can be identified by their shape. What is that shape? So as we go on, we see Vitanyo Gabi Beitzen, and we have a Tanaic source featuring eggs, not fish, but eggs. Eggs from birds, etc. Elu Hain Simone Beitzen. We have broken down this source into a couple of parts, sections. The Brisa opens up, the first section, the first identifying features are Kol Shekideres Ve'agul Goyles. This double expression means it's round in a spherical sense. Not a perfect sphere, but where the double expression, Rashi explains, is coming to the exclusion of something that's of a disc shape, which is round and flat. Rather, koderes v'agul goles indicates something that's round in a spherical sense. Roisha echod kad v'roisha echod chad. If one end of the egg is rounded and the other end is less rounded but more pointy, tapering to a finer point, we'll say that's tahora. And if you ever look at a chicken's egg, which most of us are probably familiar with, you'll notice it's not a ball. It has what we regularly call an egg shape. But what do we mean when we say an egg shape? It means that it's not a balanced ball sphere, but rather something that's close to a football, however, not exactly a football, because one end of the egg is more rounded than the other end of the egg. That's what is meant here by Roshe Echod Kad and Roshe Echod Chad, Chad meaning pointy. If the egg has that form, that is an indication it's from a kosher type bird. Shnei Roshel Kadin o Shnei Roshel Chadin Tmeim. If both ends are balanced in form, in other words, it's a ball shape, or it's like an American football, which would be the two ends are coming to a point, that is Tmeim. That comes from an unkosher variety creature. That's as far as external features. Now, regarding internal features, Chelboin mibachutz v'chelmoin mibifnim tahora. The chelbon is what people commonly call the white of the egg, the albumen, the clear part. That's the chelbon. In the word chelbon, you can see the word chalav, which is milk, which is white, or you even see the word lavan in that word to help you remember what its color is. And chelmon, if you look in that word, you can see the word limon. Limon is a lemon, which is yellow, and that's a reference to the yolk. So if the egg is like that, and this is what most of us are quite familiar with. Anytime you boil a hard-boiled egg and just slice it open, you'll see that the yolk is in the interior and the albumen, the white, is surrounding it. That's tahora. That indicates it's coming from a kosher variety egg, an egg from a kosher variety bird. Chelmoin mibachutz v'chelboin mibifnim. If the yolk is on the outside and the albumen is on the inside, that's tamea. That's from an unkosher variety creature. Chelmoin v'chelboin mu'uravin zebozeh. If they are intermingled, biyodua shehi beitzes hasheretz. That's an egg that comes from a sheretz type creature. Shrotzim include things like snakes and turtles and different kinds of rodents. What have we seen, though, from all of this? Till we got to this point, we know, we've now discovered that kosher variety eggs have a specific shape to them. So when going back to the original issue of buying from a Gentile, why is it necessary to indicate what the source of the egg is when I can just look at it? So the Gemara answers, lo yitzricha de chatuchos. This is the first answer in two answers that we're going to present in order to deal with why it's necessary to specify when we have when we know about the shape. So we're talking about a case where the eggs are chatuchos. they're mashed, they're cut. So right now, chatuchos literally means cut. So the Gemara asks, well, even if they're cut, or just the egg is sliced open, not mashed, but sliced open, so that doesn't mean he has to tell us where it comes from. V'livdok b'chel mon v'chel bone. Why not check the yolk-albumin relationship, which we saw above said that if the yolk is on the inside, then it's kosher. The Gemara answers, well, the circumstances that we were dealing with when buying from the Gentile, that I need him to explain where it comes from, it's betrufos. Trufos is beaten or mashed, where everything is mixed together. The Gemara asks, could that possibly be an explanation for the circumstances involving buying from the Gentile? I wouldn't buy mashed or beaten eggs from a Gentile in the first place. So that can't be the explanation. That's the Gemara's kasha right now. V'chiyai gavno, in this form, meaning mashed or beaten, mi zavnino minayu, would we buy from a Gentile? V'hotanyo. We have the following Tanaic source that says, ein moichrin beitzas trefa li'oyveit kechavim. One is not allowed to sell an egg that came from a trefa, a bird with an organ deficiency. He cannot sell such eggs, which happen to be unacceptable for a Jew. He cannot sell them to a Gentile. Ela in kain trufa bekara, unless they happen to be beaten or mashed. Lefikach ein lokhin mehem beitzim trufos bakeora. We just learned that mashed eggs can be sold to a goy. So therefore, if you have a beitzas trefa, and you happen to have mashed it, you can sell it to a goy in that form. As a result of that allowance, we know that you cannot buy beaten eggs from a goy, because beaten eggs that a goy has may be from beaten trefa eggs that were sold to him. So we see from this source that we don't buy from a goy beaten eggs. So that can't be the circumstances of the source that said lokhin beitzim of the kachavim. So now we come to the second answer. Ela omar Rabbi Zera, simonin lav de oraisa. The signs that we gave in describing kosher variety eggs are not based on some type of Torah or oral tradition that goes back to Mount Sinai. And therefore, we don't rely on them. We don't rely on these signs. Because if you were not to say like this, but rather to say that the signs are totally reliable, well then, Ravasi, Shmoina Sveikos Hain, Ravasi, and this is something we've learned in the past, that there are eight kinds of birds that we are in doubt about their kashrus. Well, livdoik bebeitzim didhu. You could simply check out the eggs that they lay if these signs and shapes regarding the eggs were so reliable. Elo shma mino, but rather we must conclude from the fact that Ravasi tells me that there are eight kinds of birds that we are in true doubt about. Simonim lav doraisa. The shapes and signs that we saw concerning the eggs are not something that's of a Torah reliable origin. Well, if they're not so reliable, so why does the Tanaic source bother telling us about it? Hochi ka'omar. So, thusly, we are to understand what the Tanaic source was in fact teaching. And we've put the following lines in a frame to indicate that this is the meaning of the Tanaic source. Shnei roshel kadin o shnei roshel chadin. If you have an egg that has both ends of it of a balanced similar shape, they're both rounded, in other words it would be a sphere or ball shaped egg, or shnei roshei hachadin, both ends are pointy like an American football. Oy chelmon mibachutz vechelbon mibefnim, or the chelmon the yolk is on the outside and the albumin is on the inside, then vadai tamea. If you have these characteristics, then we can conclude that it's definitely from an unkosher variety origin. Reshe chad chad. Reshe chad means one of its ends. Chad, the second chad means pointy. Reshe chad, one of its ends, chad, is rounded. The chelboin mibachutz, the chelmon mibafnim, the omar shel oif ploni v'tarhu, smoch alehen. If you have these characteristics where one end is rounded and one end is pointy, and the yolk is on the inside and the albumin is on the outside, and the seller tells you it comes from a specific kind of kosher bird, and he specifies the bird, then smoch aleihem, you can rely on it. Bistamo loy tismoch aleihem. But without him telling you specifically what kind of bird it comes from, do not rely on the signs. Deika de urva de dummy lediona, because you have the orev, which is an unkosher type bird whose eggs are similar in shape to the yona, which is a kosher type bird. So that we see that relying on the shape alone could lead to an error. Omar mar chelbon v'chelmon muravim ze boze. This is a quote from the Tanaic source on the upper part of the page, and in order to enable you to see more easily where this source is coming from, take a look at the arrows that you have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see above the corresponding arrow. And it had taught that the source above had taught that if the albumin and the yolk are intermingled, biodua shihi beitzas hasheretz, then it's a clear sign that it's the egg of a sheretz. We mentioned before that the realm of shrotzim includes many different types of creatures that are short-legged, like many rodents and reptiles. Lemai hilchasa, of what importance is it for me to know the characteristics of the Beitzas Sheretz? Before going further, we look at the topic heading and structural note in the outside margin, where we feature a triangle. The triangles here represent Shnei Nisyonos, two attempts, Lahazbir, to explain Lemai hilchasa, Habraisim Lamedes, the Beitzas Sheretz, Chelmon v'Chelbon Muravim. What practical halachic application does this knowledge have concerning the intermingling of the albumin and yolk of the Beitza Sheretz? So we continue in the Gemara with a number one first answer. Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chama Loimar, this comes to teach me Sheim Rikma V'Nikva. Rikma, Rashi explains, Notzar HaSheretz V'Socha, if within the egg the embryonic sheretz is forming, and v'nikva means there is a hole in it, and the Rashi says shiuchaliga barikum, it's a hole sufficient in size that I could actually touch the developing sheretz embryo, then mitamo b'cha'adosha, then even an adosha is a very small quantity of it, could be sometimes translated as a lentil size of this material, is mitame. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina asks on this conclusion and says, V'dilma de nochash hi. Maybe it's the egg of a nochash. Now a nochash is a sheretz, however, it is not mitame. It doesn't communicate ritual impurity. Only specific shrotzim communicate tuma. Ela Omar Rava, a second explanation as to why or what halachic significance there is in knowing that something is a beitzas hasheretz. So he says, Sheim Rikma, Ela Omar Rava, Sheim Rikma, V'ochla, Loike, Olao, Mishum, Sheretz, Hasheretz, Alaretz. That if it is started developing, and you ate from it, not touched it, but ate from it, one would get malkos, lashings for having violated the prohibition of eating a sheretz ha-shoretz al-aretz, that type of creature that crawls on the ground, which is a Torah prohibition to eat. Ihachi, if that's the point of knowing this, then my iria de tmea, afilu de Torah nami. Why does the source speak about something that's unkosher, like a sheretz? Even a kosher variety egg with an embryo developing in it would also carry with it the same penalty. Disanya kol hasheretz hasheretz ala oretz. That is a tosuk, and its point is the rabbis to include efroichim shelo niftechu einehem. Chicks before they've opened their eyes, as one knows possibly from seeing this in actuality, a chicken that emerges from its egg, and when it immediately as it emerges, its eyes are closed. And this brisa is telling us, based on a Torah pasuk, that if one were to eat from it, he would be in violation of sheretz hasheretz al oretz. So I don't need to come on to a beitzes hasheretz in order to teach this particular prohibition of eating from it. One would get malchus when the same holds true with even a kosher variety newborn chick. The Gemara answers, the source we just learned concerning the newborn closed-eyed newborn chick is midrabanan, is a rabbinic teaching alone. Ukra, and the fact that the source quotes a pasuk and opens with a pasuk, asmachta be'alma, that's a mere way of remembering the teaching. It's a way of attaching, we'll say, attaching a certain a level of importance to this rabbinic ruling and saying its origin is in the pasuk, but it's not in actuality that way, but it's a means of remembering it. That's called an asmachta. Hence, I really do need the teaching of the feitzas sheretz with the intermingling yolk albumen in order to know that if one were to eat from that, as Rava says, he would get lashings for having violated sheretz hasheretz al horetz, one who eats from the developing embryo from an egg that has those characteristics. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a new Tanaic source, and before learning the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading, dinim shoinim, different halachas binyan beitzim, regarding eggs, ubefrat din beitzo shenimtso aleha dam, and we'll focus on the issue of an egg, that when you open it up, you notice there is a drop of blood. What does that mean for us as far as kashrus is concerned? The Gemara, we said, Tanu Rabbanan, Giulei Beitzim Mutoros. Giulei has to do with boiling. If one had an unkosher variety egg that was cooked up with kosher variety eggs, even though when cooking unkosher with kosher, that will ruin the pot, it will ruin the food, because the kosher will absorb taste from the unkosher. That's true with regard to meats, for example. However, with regard to cooking eggs together, we're talking about eggs in their shells. If you have a pot of eggs, and amongst the pot of eggs you have an unkosher variety egg, that does not create a problem. Of course, we're assuming that you'll identify the unkosher variety egg after the cooking takes place and pull it out and not eat from that, from the egg itself. The issue here is the exusion that comes forth from cooking eggs together. The brisa tells us mutaras, that the fact that they were cooked together doesn't ruin the kosher eggs in the pot. Rashi explains on the second line from the top that the tahorim are mutar demayo ba'al mohu. Whatever taste, so to speak, comes out of it is like water. It's like mere water. Velo yahavi taimo bachrenaisen. There is no imparting of taste into the other eggs. So therefore, there is no kashrus problem when cooked together. Beitzim muzoros nefesh yafa tochlam. Beitzim muzoros are unfertilized eggs. The story here is that though the egg is unfertilized, the chicken or the hen will lay such eggs and then sit on it for a long time. It could sit on it and incubate the egg, even though there's no hope of anything coming from it because it's not fertilized. It's very likely that as a result of the continued heat on the egg, it becomes very unpleasant. So the source here is telling us that these unfertilized eggs, if you've got the right mental and, I don't know, physical constitution to eat them, then go right ahead. You can eat them. There's no fear of a embryonic bird developing in it. Nimtza alav kurt dam, zorek es adam ve'ochel es hasha'ar. Kurt, a little spot of dam, of blood, is found in the egg. So you are told to throw out the dam, to get rid of the portion where the blood spot is found, and the rest you can eat. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, v'hu shenimtza al kesher shela. This is provided that the spot of blood was found on the kesher. The kesher is a type of, it's a white type of, literally not knotty looking substance in the egg. It's found usually in the albumen of the egg. And the Rashi says, V'hu shenimtza hadam al hakesher shela, hu zera shel tarnagol, hakosher b'rosh hakad shel beitza. It's the semen of the male bird that is knotted or tied up on the round part of the egg. U'misham yitziras ha'efroyach mascheles, and it's from that point that the chick develops. V'kevon de'adayin hu sham, and since the blood spot is there, lo nispazir b'shar habeitza, so the effects have not been spread throughout the egg, so that you don't have an issue of blood affecting the entire egg. It's concentrated to that spot where it's found. Hilkoch oichel hashar, therefore you're allowed to eat the rest of the egg. Avol nimtza al chelmon shela, if the blood spot is found on the yolk itself, then kula asura, then the whole egg becomes forbidden. Kifosha kamon, as the Gemara explains later on, deshada tichla bekula, that's the lashon in the Gemara where it's tichla is like the destruction has been cast throughout the whole egg. Nispashet akilku bekula, the problem has spread throughout the whole egg. That's when it's found on the yolk, this drop of blood. So the Gemara continues, Toni Dostoy Abba de Rav Avturiki. So Dostoy was the father of Rav Avturiki, teaches the following source. Loi shanu, that you're allowed to eat the rest, that which we said above, that you're allowed to eat the rest is qualified. Lo shanu elo shenimtza al chelboin shela. Avol nimtza al chelmon shela afilu beitza asura. If the spot of blood is found on the yolk, then even the rest of the egg is forbidden. Not just the spot that the blood is found on, but the whole egg. My taima, why is that? So we see here that which Rashi quoted from this Gemara. It says, deshada tichla bekula. It's cast its problem, and the problem being the blood spot represents the developing embryo is now throughout the whole, the problem is said to be spread throughout the whole egg. We just read a source that Dostoy, the father of Turiki, taught over, and now the Gemara deals with a little bit of technical background regarding the text of this source. Amar le Rav Gavio mi Beik Seal le Rav Ashi. Ibcha Tani Tano Kamei de Abaye. This source was taught in an opposite way in front of Abaye. Namely, in front of Abaye, this source was taught over as saying, Lo Shanu Elishinimsa al Chelmon. In other words, that you're allowed to throw out the spot of blood and eat the rest. That is true if the spot of blood is found in the yolk. Now, that's the opposite of what we learned. So the Gemara is pointing out that that's the way the source was originally taught or stated in front of Abaye. The Abaye who the Tartsani Alei Hachi. And Abaye is the one that straightened out the Tanaic source to read Hachi this way, the way we saw it over here in the Gemara just a few lines up, where the leniency is if the spot of blood is found on the albumen and not in the yolk. Omar Chizkia, minayin lebeitzas tameo shehi asur min haTorah. Before going further, we have a new topic, and that's expressed under our topic heading in the outside margin. Mokor leisur beitzas tameo. We're looking for a source that the egg from an unkosher variety creature is also unkosher, is also unacceptable. So Omar Chizkia, minayin lebeitzas tameo shi asura min haTorah. From where do I know that the beitza from an unkosher variety, bird, etc., is usur to consume? After all, the egg is, in effect, a separate entity. It's not the meat of the bird. It's something that the bird laid. How do I know that that, too, is forbidden? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk deals with things that are forbidden. It says, you shall not eat. It says, v'es bas haya'ano. V'chi bas yesh lo li'ano. Does a ya'ano have a daughter? Yano is a type of bird, we'll say, a creature. Does this creature have a daughter? Ela eizo. So what is meant by bas hayana? Zu beitza tamea. That is a reference to the egg that comes from an unkosher variety bird. Before going on, we see a new geometric form in this sugya, a triangle, and in the outside margin of the mivneh, we have the triangle featured, and we say nisyonos lidchos. These triangles represent attempts of the Gemara to reject the hesber, the explanation we just gave. V'dilma hainu shamayu. Maybe bas yano is the name of the bird. In other words, it's not bas Hayano, meaning something that comes from the Yano, namely the egg, but that's the name of the bird. And the Torah is telling you, don't eat birds by the name of Bas Yano. Loi Salka Daitach. You should not think thusly that that's the name, Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Bas Ami La'achzor Kai Ye'enim Bamidbar. Here you have the name of the bird referred to as Ye'enim, not Bas Ya'ano. So that the name of the bird is a Ya'ano. The Gemara asks, Velo, is that really so? Voksiv Ese Mispeid Kitanim V'Evel Kibenos Ya'ano. The Rashi says, V'Evel Kibenos Ya'ano V'I Beitzim Ninu Klum Yesh Lo Peh. The Pasuk is describing I will make a eulogy and mourning like them. In other words, the idea being that the Benosiana will mourn, and that has to do with saying things. So if the term Benosiana was a reference to an egg, how can you say that the egg will express mourning? So the Gemara answers, the understanding of this pasuk is as follows. Kiyano zu shemisabeles al boneho. In other words, kibenos yano doesn't mean egg, but it means, in this particular pasuk, it doesn't mean, it can't, it's true, it can't refer to the egg, but the name of the bird itself is not bas yano. The name of the bird is ya'ano. And the pasuk is saying that there will be mourning like the ya'ano does for its offspring. The hawk siv, but there's a pasuk that says vishochnu sham binos ya'ano. so that you see that the name of the bird is Bas Yano, or in the plural, Benos Yano, and not egg. The Gemara says, no, the name of the bird is actually Ya'ano. And the explanation of this pasuk is, Ki Ya'ano Zu Sheshochenes Im Boneha. There is an analogy to a Ya'ano that lives with its children. But as far as we are concerned, the name of the bird is Ya'ano and not Bas Ya'ano. Therefore, we go back to the original pasuk says, don't eat Bas Ya'ano. That's a reference to the egg. Question, V'oksiv techabdeni chayas esodeh, tanim uvenos Ya'ano. So you see here, Benos Ya'ano seems to be the name of the bird. If you were to think that this expression is a reference to eggs, beitza bas meimar shira hi, pasuk is describing creatures that will sing praise to the Almighty. Is an egg capable of singing praise? So therefore, benos Ya'ano has to be something that's capable of singing. Well, a bird is capable of singing. So you see from here that the name of the bird is Bas Ya'ano. And then I would lose my source for eggs coming from unkosher variety sources. Ella, the Gemara answers, Ksiv Hayano, Uksiv Bas Hayano. Both the word Ya'ano and the word Bas Ya'ano could refer to a bird. So the question then would come back of, what about my source for eggs? The shiny hocha, the posuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph, which we originally opened with, is different. Here it has to mean eggs. The posuk sifra l'shtei tevois, here the sefer means in the Torah, it's written as two separate words. Umidaposak lehu sifra betarti tevos, from the fact that the Torah divides it into two words, shmamino tre shemois ninhu. It's a sign that they are in fact two words, and not the name of a bird, but rather it's a reference to that which comes from the Ya'ano, namely the egg that comes from the Ya'ano bird. So at this point, the proof, so to speak, or the source is the presence of the word Bas Ya'ano in two words, showing us that it's not the name of a kind of bird. Elo Me'ata, if that's your proof from the fact that it's in two separate, there's a space between the word Bas and Ya'ano, and therefore it can't be a name, well, Elo Me'ata, Kedor La'Omer. This is a name, it's the name of a king that's featured in Parshas Lech Lecha, where, if you're familiar with the story of Avram Avinu going up against a group of four powerful kings in the war of kings between the four and five kings, one of the names that appears there is Kedor La'Omer. Now, in the Torah, it's Deposak Lehusifra Betray. The name is split, as you can see right here in the Gemara. You can see it's printed as two separate words. Hachinami detarti shmeininu. Are you going to tell me it's a reference to two different names, two different people? Not true. We know that Kedor La'Omer was a person. So there's one person with this name, Kedor La'Omer, even though it's printed separately. So it could be that, once again, Bas Ya'ano is the name of a bird. Just like Kedor La'Omer is a name of a person, Bas Ya'ano, even though it's printed as two separate words, it's the name of a bird, and not a reference to an egg. The Gemara answers, Amri, Hossam, in the case of Kedor La'Omer, b'shtei tevos posiklu, b'shnei shitim lo posiklu. There, it's true, it appears as two separate words, but it's not written on two separate lines. Aval hocha, with regard to Bas Ya'ano, afilu b'shnei shitim nami posiklu. You can have these words, Bas and Ya'ano, written on two separate lines. Bas at the end of one line and the beginning of the next line, Ya'ano. That shows us that it has to be a reference to the product of a Ya'ano. They're two separate words, product of a Ya'ano, and not the name of the bird. So we do have a source from this pasuk, as far as the flow of the Gemara is concerned, where the Torah says, don't eat the Bas Ya'ano, It's telling me don't eat the eggs that come from an unkosher variety source. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.